The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Whether you're looking to create a little more privacy or block an unsightly view or perhaps add some structure to your balcony, your garden or your outside space, screening plants can completely transform what you're looking at through the back window. And gardener Mary Staunton is with me. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Will we define what screening plants are? Like, what exactly are we talking about here?
Okay, so screening plants are those plants that grow tall enough to screen out a view that you may not particularly want to see. So whether it's a garden that's overlooking you or a window, you know, from another house that's overlooking you, or just a very ugly view that you don't particularly want to wake up to every morning and be looking at. So there's kind of lots of different options, the cheaper options and the more expensive options.
Okay,
so we'll go through them.
But the other thing I was thinking about, if you're looking at getting screening plants in, or a reason why you might want them, is to provide some shelter. Do they work in that regard from wind?
They do, and they work. You know, when you think about it, most people would consider putting up fencing. You know, like the traditional fencing that you would put up, lattice ones or whatever. And the problem with walls and fencing is they create a thing called an eddying, which when the wind hits a wall or a solid piece of something, it goes over the top and then creates this swirl. So you're better off in some instances, if it's of quite a windy site, having the protection of trees to slow down the wind coming into the garden, and then you can plant other plants behind that screening, if you like. So it works quite effectively in, for instance, you know, gardens beside the sea, or just places that tend to get really windy. So it's a very good idea to have screening plants instead of like a solid block wall or something like that.
Now, when you're looking for a screening plant, you want something that's going to grow quickly, and you will find those things in garden centres.
Oh,
but you've got to be really careful because they go wild very quickly too.
Oh, they do. And the problem is when you're looking at them in garden centres, they look lovely, you know, innocuous looking plants. And then suddenly over a period of time, they become out of control trees that you need to get somebody in to, you know, put manners on. And that costs an awful lot of money. So ideally, you don't want to be going for something like a Leylandii or Leyland cypress, because they do grow really quickly. And if you're not honest with the cutting them back yearly, then you will find that they'll get out of control. And they tend to get quite wide as well. So, if space is an issue, if you have a small garden, but you want kind of a hedge going around it and space is an issue, then you don't want something as robust as a Leyland cypress. You could consider what are called pleached trees. So pleached trees, for anybody who doesn't know what they are, it's on one stem, and then at the top, they're kind of trained on a bamboo kind of cane system. And they almost look like a big square lollipop. That's the best kind of description I can give. Yeah.
So, and they don't go wild, is what you're saying?
They don't go wild because they're already on a kind of a frame. So you keep that frame in check. That's how it works. So that most walls would be kind of 8 foot, 10 foot, and these trees would have a leg or a stem, roughly kind of 8 foot, and then you would have the canopy then on top. But it's like a sail. So they would have to be staked. And it's really important that they are staked, because they act like a sail. So they will take the wind, but you don't want them kind of rocking out of their where you've planted them. So they need to be staked. And it's kind of a double stake with a piece of wood going across. And then you have what's called a little spacer. And then you attach the tree to the spacer with another kind of, like, it's almost like webbing. And that is loosened every year. That's really important.
The fact that they're pleached, as you say, pleached, and they're on this bamboo frame at the top, and they're quite advanced, then I would imagine, in terms of their growth. Are they expensive to buy?
They are. So you're looking at, for something kind of, I suppose, of that height, 8 foot plus the 8 or 9 foot plus the canopy, you're looking at about €500, roughly. That's what you're looking at.
Okay, but they do the job for you.
It'll do the job instantly. See, that's the idea. So they are there. I mean, a lot of landscapers will go into, I mean, I see them all around the place now. So they're in you know, it's an instant look, an instant fix to being overlooked by much taller houses. Where the houses that are being built now, they're being built on smaller plots, but they're taller. So with that, you are being overlooked. So, you know, it's an instant fix.
Okay.
If you have the time, it's a lot easier and a lot less expensive to grow, you know, plants like the big one at the moment is Portuguese laurel. I suppose if you're looking at putting in, you know, a hedge or our native taxus, piccata, something like that. Slower growing, easier to manage, but will take a long time to get up to that height, you know, the €500 height of a pleached tree. That's the only difference, but they are much, much cheaper.
Okay, so tell me about why people are sometimes keen to use a thing called running bamboo, but then they get very worried about it when it starts to go a bit wild in the garden.
You see, a bugbear of mine, Claire, is that they're not, it's not that they're not properly, you know, that maybe there's a little bit written on the sign on these bamboos, and you really need a microscope to get to have a look at it and see, is it a running one or is it a clump forming bamboo? If it's a running bamboo, we learned, when we were in college, we learned kind of that a running bamboo is leptomorph, so it leaps everywhere. You know, it goes along underground and it ends up in the neighbours. That's as simple as that, into your driveway, into your grass, in your front garden.
Oh,
it
no.
goes everywhere. Yeah, dreadful, absolutely dreadful. And then there is the one, it's a clump forming one. They like a little bit more shade. They stay pretty much in their clump. And if you think of an iris, you know those beautiful irises that are out now?
Yes.
And they have kind of like really twisted kind of roots at the bottom. And then they send up this lovely shoot with the iris. That's what's happening underground in a clump forming bamboo. Really thick stems. And then they come out another little bit and send up a shoot. But it's this really slow and they stay in a very compact growth habit. So they don't
get
out.
They're the ones that you want, clump forming bamboo.
Clump forming, yeah. So if you're looking for Fargesii robusta, would be the Latin name for a clump forming. But ideally, I would take a photograph of the label, look it up on your phone. We all have phones that can look up stuff now. So look it up on your phone. And if you see a running bamboo, just leave it.
Okay,
Walk away. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, what we have to consider here as well is staying friendly with the neighbours. And we're talking about if you were planting in a garden type situation here, because if you're going to have something that's going to grow up very quickly and very bright and wide and broad and thick, the chances are you're going to block their light. So you need to be careful what you're up to.
Well, that's it. I mean, a lot of neighbours now, you know, if people are moving into new secondhand homes or new homes, first of all, you'd be introduced to the neighbour, and then the neighbour will probably say to you, I hope you're not going to put up loads of trees or loads of, you know, Leyland cypress or that sort of thing. And it's a good idea to have a mix of kind of hedging if that's what you're going to put up. Don't put up a block of something, you know, put up a mixture of hedging, native hedging, and that'll help A, the environment, and B, to be on very good terms with your neighbours, because they're a lot easier to control. Blocking light is a huge problem in you know, housing estates now. It can shadow out a garden really quickly, and there are a lot of trees that drop their leaves. I remember I got a phone call from somebody living in an estate near us, and she said, you know, what's with all the trees losing their leaves? And I said, well, some trees lose their leaves because they're not evergreen. That, you know, that's what they do per year. And then they get new leaves in the spring. And she was appalled, actually, that this would happen and all the leaves are coming into the garden. So I just thought, nature is nature. You decide what you want to put in your garden, but you also have to be mindful of next door and, you know, that they're not, you're not creating, I suppose, a garden that's going, all the leaves are going to blow into their garden. Because I've seen it in the States where you plant a tree, the leaves divest themselves because you're maybe on a hill. The wind blows the leaves of your tree down further, so you're not getting them in your garden when they come off. They're down in the neighbours. So you have to be very mindful and careful when you are putting plants into your own garden, and just be honest with doing your research. And don't rely particularly on people saying, oh, no, that's a grand one there. You know, just look it up yourself.
And also, I suppose an essential question you need to ask if you are buying in a garden centre is, what's this going to look like in 2 or 3 years' time?
Exactly, exactly. That's the big thing, you know.
It'll be a monster that I can't control myself.
Exactly. And that's the bigger thing. If you can't cut your own hedge, this is just for me in terms of, you know, having, you know, a garden that we can control ourselves. If you can't cut your own hedge, you're going to have to get somebody in to do it, and then it becomes a problem because, you know, we went back to the cold caller thing. You know, you have to know who's coming into your garden to do the work. But I would suggest you get something as easy to look after and maintain as a privet hedge, a grisalinea hedge, a Portuguese laurel, something like that you can control easy enough yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the trick.
And the acacia, you know, that you mentioned as another one that tends to go mad when it's left to its own devices, that's banned in parts of France, is it?
It's banned in parts of France. You see, as climate changes, things that never really seeded well before are now, or they had the sterile seed, are now becoming producing viable seed just because of the climate change, the hotter summers, that sort of thing. And then they become a nuisance and they seed everywhere. So sometimes, a bit like, the Acacia dilbata is banned in some parts of France, not all parts, but in some parts where it does really well in very sunny, you know, much more sunnier climes than ours. And it seeds everywhere. And they look nice, you know, and, you know, little ferny kind of things on the ground. But then they become big trees. And then it costs money to get them taken out. So that's the problem. But if you look at New Zealand, in parts of New Zealand, in Auckland in particular, you have Agapanthus that we love. You know, Agapanthus africanus and all the lovely Agapanthus, and they're not allowed to grow them. They're on the kind of the banned list in some council or some parts of Auckland. So, you know, what we consider okay now may be a weed in years to come. So
we'll decide if we're not into it anymore.
Yeah, we're not into it anymore. Exactly. I'm going to be in bloom actually this. When is it? It's on the bank holiday weekend.
Yes,
on the
it's
Sunday.
The weekend after this one. Yeah. So you're on the Sunday the 31st. That's when you're there.
Yeah, I'll be there. First time ever talking on the garden stage with the great and the good. You know,
great.
So that'll be me.
So a new experience. But you'll be taking questions there as well. You'll be inundated, Murray, with questions,
absolutely.
Screening plants, and all the rest.
Be great. Yeah, exactly. So look, you know, if anybody's around, come in. And, you know, gardeners are great at imparting a little bit of advice here and there. They love kind of chatting to people. So do come in and have a chat and have a listen to the talks. And, you know, you'll always learn something new every day.
You might just learn something new. Absolutely. Well, Murray, the best of luck with it, Murray, at Bloom this year on the garden stage on Sunday the 31st at 2:15. Murray, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Claire. Bye.
And my thanks to you for getting in touch with us on the show today. And if you've missed anything, you can listen back on the Go Loud app. The team today, thank you to Cormac McDonagh on sound, producers Dee King, Helena O'Toole, research by David O'Connor and Shanna Cole. And our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane. Don't forget Alex Russo in there producing as well. Anna Daly's coming up.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.